Keep it going.
So hi everyone, I'm Lee, as it says.
Hello Lee.
Hi Lee.
And so I'm going to briefly talk about last year's LCA game development for the Tipper. And basically what happened since. So, you know, I'm a bit of an academic, so you'll see some of these academic themes running through. Like, conclusions first. so that when you get all bored and start to sleep about here, you won't have missed anything. So basically, I'm just going to run through a few things. I start with the conclusions. A little bit about the game development board, the sort of what we thought we'd do, what we did, what didn't do, what went wrong, and some ideas about how things could be better, and you know how your own projects might benefit from this knowledge. So, first some conclusions. I learned more from failure than I did from success. I don't know who said it, if anybody knows. Maybe it was just me. anything is, you just have to learn from it. So, you need concrete processes to keep people involved and valued and make it easy to contribute. And, you know, a lot of those processes talked about, so I was like, you really stole my thunder, it's not fair. And these obviously apply to just about every project.
That's too far back.
Right. Yes. And again, as Rusty said, you need somebody that has sort of gives the vision and. As you heard with this project, when the sort of the person in charge giving it sort of disappears, a lot of projects do suffer, and it basically takes another person of vision to push it forward again. And I'll actually briefly talk about another project later that had the same situation. And you definitely need communication. Of course, that goes for just about everything. So, LCA 06 Game Dev BOF. Yes, I organised it. We had about 20 attendees, although I don't know what the exact number is, because I can't find my notes. Not a good start. It was on one evening, and it's done something stupid to my dentin. We talked about, you know, what projects are out there, and you know how there's a lot of sort of one-off games, mostly things like clones of well-known games and some, you know, very clever new games. And how there's a few projects coming out which are more frameworks for creating games, and how that encourages reuse of code and media, and basically trying to get talking about how to get more people involved in open source game programming. So the plan was, and anybody that was, actually, before I go on, how many people were at the game development BOF last year?
It was just you then.
I saw one hand over here.
It was just both of you then.
Oh well, this is good then. I can make you all up. The plan basically was, from what I remember anyway, trying to spread the word about open source game projects, trying to encourage sort of reuse of libraries and modules and frameworks and media. And we were sort of to meet up on the game programming wiki, which has been around for a fair while now. It's got quite a lot of content on it, lots of tutorials and but a lot of it is aimed at people developing their own commercial games from scratch. So the sort of starting tutorials are all orientated that way. There's none of the sort of open source, you can do it with all these people and have fun doing it. So we sort of suggested that at least for a start, we could start by categorizing all the software that's open source on there and sort of make, perhaps then go into writing some tutorials about how to get into open source game programming. Is that about accurate, do you think?
I saw some cases of it.
So, what happens since then? Well, I went and attacked SDL, Crystal Space, a whole lot of other ones, about a couple of weeks after the conference. And then I forgot about it. One of the hazards of doing the thesis. On the other hand, it did give me lots of time the year before. So, had a look, it would have been about October. And there wasn't any changes. Nobody had been else on that tag, anything. Hadn't noticed any of the two projects that I sort of follow and involved with. Although we have had some new developers, particularly since then. I don't know what it is about November and December, but they tend to come out of the woodwork about that. Just must be free time or something. This is WorkForge 1000 Parsec, if you're curious. And I'll talk about WorkForge a little bit more in a minute. So, this is going very quick. Anyway, what went wrong? Basically, I think the biggest thing that, as sort of the person who organized the Bird of a Feather, is that we didn't set any way of following up or communicating. Those would probably be the first two biggest things. We didn't collect email addresses. I have no record of who actually was there. You know, nobody, you know, there was no way of following up to the people and asking them, hey, you're still interested? Have you thought of anything else? And that sort of thing, which would be quite advantageous to sort of keep things moving along. Of course, there's no commitment, which, of course, you kind of can't expect too much commitment in open source. People come and go. But, you know, when they say they're going to do something, you sort of have to follow them up, which, of course, we couldn't, because we had no way of getting in touch with them. I put this down to a failure of my lecture. I feel bad about it. Incentive is a good way of keeping involved. And, you know, there's lots of ways you can make incentives for people to help join your project and help your project along. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be, you know, money. I mean, just look at the kernel process to see the incentives of getting involved in that. You know, bam. You know, it's really hard to follow Rusty. And of course, a lot of people just don't have time. And, you know, they're busy on their own projects, and, you know, obviously great things have been happening in a lot of the game projects, and it's really positive to see, of course, but it means everybody's really busy. So, some lessons. Get commitment. Ask people, are you going to do this? And then follow them up and give them incentives to get it finished. So, you know, we had... Okay. Is that one? Yes. Train of thought.
You're not committed to this.
You've got to get committed. I'm committed. I'm standing in front of you. All you. Basically, there are lots of ways of giving incentive, of course, but commitment can be as little as saying, if you're still interested, let me know when you get around to doing something. In some of the work that I've been doing for 1000 Parsec, I've had another developer that pops in about every 6 months, and he normally brings something with him, and it's really, really great to see, and it's to say, oh, that's really cool, and, you know, report it into the main trees of everything. And, but obviously, you know, it's very hard to get, you know, give incentive when you can't contact people. Totally distributed leadership doesn't work. Basically, you do have to give some vision, some idea about where the project's going and things like that. I would say that there wasn't much of that from, you know, the little plan at the game development box last year. And I'd just like to, and another, just another example of this is that the World Forge project suffered the loss of its leader. In fact, it's done it twice now. The first time was about 6 weeks old, and the leader just vanished. We still have not heard from him. We're up to about 8 years later, 9 years later. So World Forge has been going a while. And sort of the next leader stepped in, and he was brilliant, I have to say. He sort of gave an outline of where everything was going and sort of showed, yes, we can do this, it's brilliant, it's going to be cool. Through some other processes of work, he slowly drew back his involvement and then basically one day vanished again. Except we can keep an eye on him because he's quite a well-known, but he works at one of the open source labs in the United States, so we know he's still alive, not hit by the offline bus. But in his absence, I would say that the World Forge project has sort of branded a little bit, but has sort of got back on its feet now, a couple of years since he's been gone. And, you know, it's just a couple of dedicated individuals that sort of put the work in, and, you know, anybody key. And just to push it along and sort of give the idea about where it's going and what's next. Processes are a good idea. I hate to borrow this word from, you know, business sense, but, you know, having an idea about when you have a newbie come along, you ask them, you know, where did you hear about us? What do you know? What are you interested in? Go off and play for a bit. We'll talk to you in a couple of days about what's interesting you and what you'd like to do. That sort of process can really help keep, you know, people that are just dropping in on your IRC channel around. You know, a bad process can break good ideas. You know, you might have the best game idea in the world, but if you don't have, you know, an idea about how you're going to get people to come along and get involved, then you might struggle. So in the famous academic sense, I'm going to present my conclusions again. So basically, yeah, learn from your experiences and everybody else's if you can. Postmortems are quite famous in the game industry, you'll notice. There's at least two on the Game Programming Wiki, and I think Salon has a series of them. So good processes, value, make it easy to contribute, and you need vision, and communication. And very quickly, one other thing. This is worth a read. It's a little old, 1999, and it's interesting to see just how far we've sort of come since then, but interesting equally just how much further we could go to sort of explore this vision. So, any questions?
We've got about 5 minutes for questions, so does anybody have any questions?
Where's the link on the wiki?
I'll get somebody else to put it up because I can't log into it.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the wiki.
If you put in open source games, that's pretty much the first link. And Google. Which is actually kind of sad.
Okay.
Because it sort of says, you know, that one of the, I was going to put a quote in, but I couldn't find a decent one, but one of the first things I said is that, you know, Linux is not a gaming platform, and obviously, just looking at the number of people here, obviously, it's definitely starting to be a decent game platform. In fact, I'm pretty sure we'll see it's going to be an amazing game platform.
Okay, I'd like to